was Bix Beiderbecke's cornet solo on Hoagy Carmichael's first known musical composition, Riverboat Shuffle, which was originally named something different, Freewheeling. But Bix renamed it, and Hoagy apparently didn't mind, as long as it got recorded. The band was called the Wolverine Orchestra, shortened from their original name, the Wolverine Orchestra of Chicago, even though they weren't based in Chicago. They did have a few musicians who had played in Chicago, but they started out in Hamilton, Ohio, at a roadhouse called the Stockton Club. And when that was closed down in early 1924, due to a New Year's Eve brawl that involved elements of organized crime, they gravitated a few miles south to Cincinnati, where they took up residence at Doyle's Dance Studio, and occasionally sneaking out with their instruments to play elsewhere. So the owner of Doyle's took to locking their instruments up inside so that, you know, they wouldn't seek greener pastures in the middle of the night. Bix and several of his bandmates were college-age Midwestern white boys, as was Hoagy Carmichael, who was attending Indiana University at the time, studying law or pre-law or whatever. He was a fan of the band, and he got them several gigs at college dances and fraternity house parties in his hometown of Bloomington, Indiana, which is where IU is. I don't know whether Hoagy's Indiana connections had anything to do with getting the Wolverines their first recording session in Richmond, Indiana. Probably not, since he was an unknown himself at that time. But however they arranged it, they drove the 125 miles from Cincinnati to Richmond the morning of February 18th, 1924, and showed up at the recording studio of Jeanette Records, which was the same record company that had first recorded King Oliver's band the year before, as you heard in episode one of this series. The first tune they recorded was called Fidgety Feet. Thank you. So that one was nothing special, maybe, but it was worth keeping. And they screwed up two other songs, however, probably due to nerves since it was their first session. But, you know, they did eventually come up with another keeper, the Jazzy Blues, which features Bix's first recorded solo. That solo deserves another listen. After they got that one in the can, it was time to go home. They'd only got two good sides out of the session, but that was all they needed for their first single, their first 78, which was released as Jeanette 5408 that April of 1924. Now, I may be imagining it, but I think I hear a kazoo in the latter part of that piece. The kazoo is uncredited, but we know who played the other instruments, and you can see them in the show art. Bix Beiderbecke on cornet, of course. Al Gandy, trombone. Johnny Hartwell, clarinet and alto sax. George Johnson, tenor sax. Dick Voynow, piano. Bob Gillette, banjo. Min Laybrook, tuba. Actually a sousaphone. I wonder how they managed to sneak that out of Doyle's. And Vic Moore on drums. And as you can see, he actually does have a snare drum in the studio and a cymbal, so he wasn't limited to tapping on the woodblock like Baby Dodds was with the King Oliver Band. He didn't bring a bass drum, though. Al Gandy, the trombone player, was somebody they'd added in Cincinnati, but he didn't stick. And he didn't take part in the Wolverine's next recording session. On May the 6th, back at Jeanette in Richmond. Now, they were relaxed enough this time to get four keepers in the can. The first was called Oh Baby. Yeah, that was actually a pop song with lyrics and everything. The chorus went, oh baby, don't say no, say maybe. That's just as good as yes to me. Start learning your lesson. Stop knowing, keep yesing, and you can leave the rest to me. So they were just as obsessed with sex 100 years ago as they are today. It's nothing new. This next tune is called Copenhagen, or Copenhagen, I'm not sure which. Thank you. probably noticed that the sousaphone gets picked up very clearly on this number. And I don't know if that's just because it's louder than a string bass, or because you could point the sousaphone toward the recording horn, or maybe there'd been some improvements in the recording technology since the previous year, when, you may remember, King Oliver's band resorted to playing a bass line on the banjo. Now, at any rate, you can see in the show art that the recording horn appears to be aimed at the piano here in this shot. But, you know, maybe they pointed it toward the sousaphone on this piece, or moved him over next to the piano. Next up is the Hoagy Carmichael composition, Riverboat Shuffle. Now, clearly, this was a very early composition by Hoagy Carmichael, and Stardust, it ain't. You know, it ain't even Hong Kong Blues, which Hoagy himself performed in the Bogart and Bacall picture To Have and Have Not.
It's a story of a very unfortunate colored man who got arrested down in old Hong Kong.
Next up was a number called Susie.
Thank you.
Now, this is apparently another pop song with lyrics, because it's credited to Clayton Nassett and Gus Kahn. Gus Kahn was a lyricist, so I figure the tune has lyrics, but I can't find them anywhere. Now, they recorded a second pretty good take of Susie in this session, but I'm not going to play it here. It's very similar to this one you just heard. And that was the end of the second Wolverine recording session. They got two singles out of that session. Oh Baby and Copenhagen were issued as Jeanette 5453, and Hokie's Riverboat Shuffle and Susie were issued as Jeanette 5454. Now, when they went back to Richmond for a third session on June the 20th of 1924, it was with a different drummer, Vic Burton instead of Vic Moore. I guess Vic must have been a popular name for drummers back then. And they were still without a trombone player. The first tune they recorded was called I Need Some Pettin'. This is another pop tune with lyrics by Gus Kahn, and I was able to find the words to this one. The chorus goes, I need some petting, and I'm not getting the kind of petting I need. Tell me what are your charms for? Tell me what are my arms for? I need some kissing, and I've been missing the kind of kissing I crave. You keep teasing, and that's the reason I rave. See? I told you they were sex-obsessed 100 years ago. The next tune is called Royal Garden Blues. Ooh. That song had lyrics too, but they're not as catchy as the Gus Kahn lyrics. It does have a catchy riff though, you know, that dun dun da 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 dun dun da 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 dun dun da 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 da, and then there's da 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 over and over again as the over the chord changes. And you know, this is considered to be one of the first pop songs to be riff-based. Last up is Tiger Rag. That's another keeper, but it was never issued by Jeanette, probably because the Wolverines still didn't have a trombone player, and the trombone is a pretty essential part of Tiger Rag, especially near the end in the Hold That Tiger part when it simulates the tiger's roar. Well, or maybe they just didn't have anything left to put on the B-side of Tiger Rag once they put out I Need Some Pettin' and Royal Garden Blues as a single. Wish they did. And I keep talking about 78s as singles. And you may wonder how they could have put out anything but singles, since 78s were pretty much limited to 3 minutes or so per side. Now, that's probably how the standard length of a pop song got to be 3 minutes, by the way. So how could you put out an album on 78s? Well, originally, a record album was just that. It was a bound collection of single 78s, just like, you know, a photograph album is a bound collection of photographs. You know? So, record albums, you know, had envelopes bound inside, and you would slip the 78s into those envelopes and then close the cover. Well, that's going to just about do it for this edition of Early Jazz and Blues. We'll see you next time on the flip side, so to speak. Until then, this is Dave in Kentucky, signing off.